Minneapolis is not one of those cities where the inner city schools are plainly, visibly inferior. West Central Academy in North Minneapolis is one of the city's newest public elementary schools. It boasts architectural touches like high cathedral windows and curved hallways, as well as an up-to-date computer lab.
You look pretty today. Have a good day.
The teachers seem fully engaged, even passionate.
One more time. Glance. Wondered. Imagine. Jauntily.
Teacher Ann Cummins Bogan leads a dozen third graders through a list of new words. She then asks how the words were used in the reading assignment.
Something else he was imagining about a person in his life that went away.
His Uncle Hawk.
His Uncle Hawk. And what was he trying to imagine?
What would be like when he's climbed a mountain.
Okay, what would be like?
West Central was the first school in Minnesota to adopt Success for All. It's an aggressive reading program designed especially for urban schools with lots of students who need extra help. West Central fits the description. Almost all of the school's third and fifth graders got below average scores on standardized reading tests last year. Susan Schuff oversees the reading program. She says virtually all of the school's 570 students are poor.
We have 98% free and reduced lunch at this school. We have a 40% mobility rate, meaning that in any given year, 40% of our children leave. So we have a very high turnover. We have a 100% minority population. It's approximately 80% African American and 20% Latino.
The concentration of poor and minority children is exceptionally high at West Central, but overall 70% of Minneapolis public school students are racial minorities. Two-thirds come from low-income families. The two groups are largely one and the same. Starting in the 1980s, thousands of poor African-American families moved to Minneapolis from Chicago and elsewhere. Many white and middle-class families put their kids in private schools or moved to suburbs. The result? Minneapolis schools have quickly become some of the most racially and economically segregated in the country. Connie Overhue is a teacher and social worker at West Central Academy. She says it's hard to teach when so many kids in a classroom show the stress of living in poor, unstable homes.
One is the kids are falling asleep, literally falling asleep as we're teaching. Or two is, I had one young boy in my class, for example, today who just started to cry. It's like, are you okay? And it's like, I'll be okay. Or you'll see the violence erupt very quickly. Somebody may say something and it's like, really blown out of proportion, almost like an explosion. Again, I think some of what's coming from home is coming into the classroom.
Over half of the city's students get subpar scores on standardized tests. Two-thirds of black students fail to graduate on time. Yet Minneapolis school officials say they're making progress. They point out that the percentage of eighth graders passing a state reading test increased by 15% over the past 2 years. Critics are unimpressed.
The Minneapolis schools are a comprehensive failure for two-thirds of all of the students in the entire city school district, and that's almost 50,000 kids.
John Schulman is an attorney for the Minneapolis NAACP, which is suing the state of Minnesota. Schulman says the state is shirking its obligation to educate Minneapolis children, despite spending extra money on the city's schools.
We're spending approximately $11,000 per student in the Minneapolis public schools, compared, for example, to about $6,000 or $7,000 in the suburban schools around Minneapolis. Yet the suburban schools have extraordinary success, very, very highly ranked nationally, and the city schools are at the very bottom for kids of color in particular. They do worse than most of the major cities, including Detroit, Cleveland, Oakland, that one associates with problem urban schools.
Schulman says schools populated overwhelmingly by poor children almost never succeed. In its lawsuit, the NAACP demands a metropolitan-wide busing plan to, in effect, sprinkle low-income children throughout the region. In fact, the Minneapolis district is moving in the opposite direction. It cut back on busing within the city in favor of neighborhood schools. That has further increased the concentration of poor kids in some buildings. But school board chairman Bill Green says he's not convinced busing does any good.
Kids of color sitting next to white kids does not necessarily lead to achievement. If you don't have a secure home life, and if the parent can't get to the classroom because the transportation system doesn't take a parent in one section of the city to another section of the metropolitan area, it's no use.
School officials and the NAACP agree on one thing. Bad neighborhoods hobble many Minneapolis children. In one of the poorest sections of South Minneapolis, Brian Johnson and his girlfriend Tina watch TV in the upstairs bedroom of his mother's house. Their new son sleeps beside them.
It's my baby. He's 2 months old. Brian Lewis Johnson Jr.
Brian Sr. just turned 18. He dropped out of school last winter, even though he says he usually got B's and C's. He says he would have liked to ride a bus to a suburban school.
Me personally, I think I would have did a lot better in a school way out there, just because it's not in the inner city, to where there's a lot of negativity brought to school.
By negativity, Brian means the threat of violence. He's been wounded by gunfire twice in the last 2 years. The first was a drive-by shooting in a neighborhood park. He says the shooters were neighbors getting revenge after Brian and his brother fought with them. Not long after the incident, Brian quit school. He says he didn't feel safe there either.
Weapons is all in the schools, from knives to nunchucks to all kind of weapons. Some scary, some that you really don't want to be around because you feel uncomfortable. If you get into an argument with this person, will he stab you?
Brian's mother, Sue Johnson, says it's been painful to watch her two sons turn hard. She blames the neighborhood.
They're still good kids. They're not bad kids. They just have a certain attitude they have to walk with. If they're seen as weak or show themselves as weak, they'll get beat up every day. They can't even go to the corner store.
Johnson says schools are quick to put a bad kid label on boys like hers and then replace education with behavior control. The NAACP cites examples. One middle school threatened to charge students with theft if they took textbooks home without permission. In its lawsuit, the NAACP demands changes in suburban zoning laws and other policies that concentrate poor families in the inner city. It argues the state must fix poor neighborhoods before it can educate the children who live in them. On that point, school board chairman Bill Green agrees.
If we're going to do what's right for kids, we got to be willing to push the envelope in terms of solutions. If we want to have a series of policies that result in concentration of kids of these needs, then what are we prepared to do to assure them of the quality of education they deserve?
Minnesota is making a rare attempt to answer that question. State officials have entered into a mediation process with the NAACP to try to settle the group's lawsuit against the state. But so far, agreement is elusive. The NAACP proposed to let Minneapolis students attend the suburban school of their choice. The state rejected the idea. For NPR News, this is John Bewin.